This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zach Gelb in for Sean Pendergast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. To no surprise, NBA free agency has dominated the first hour, and it's going to dominate the next 3 hours. We'll head out to the hotline right now and welcome in the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, and that's the great Sean Grandy, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes on what is a very, 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 very busy Sunday. Sean, can't thank you enough. Appreciate the time as always, and how are you?
I think it's going to dominate more than the next few hours. I have a feeling days and days and into weeks and the brilliance of the NBA, right? Just rolling over All-Star Week in baseball and into NFL training camps and just so much drama.
Well, how about the state of the NBA right now? Because the free agency is really a 365-day, days out of the year talking point because of the fact, you know, we even look back at the All-Star game with, you know, things I laughed at the time, that Durant and Kyrie Irving were meeting in the tunnels, and they were sitting there and they were talking, and everyone said, oh, they're going to team up together, and that ended up becoming a reality. It's crazy with all the drama.
I try very hard, being cognizant of my age, to not be the get-off-my-lawn type guy as you move through middle age, right? You don't want to be that guy. But this is sort of the ultimate expression of the AAU culture, right, of guys being teammates at different times and not having the same. It's more about loyalty to your friends or to a group of guys than it is about teams. And maybe it's just the natural evolution of teams running things in professional sports for decades, and now the players have the power, and it's a players' league, and they're going to do what they want. But it's whatever it is, it's evolved into this, that now it isn't about building for 4 or 5 or 6 years. It's putting yourself in position to make that splash, to get a 2 or 3 year run to take a shot at it. Think about what just happened here. The best player in free agency was signed to a maximum contract knowing he will not take the floor for another 16, 17 months with his new team.
And not only that, he goes to a team, and you know the history very well between the Nets and the Celtics with that trade, but the Nets are in a very down period. Sean Marks has done a great job with this team. And for the entire year, we heard the Knicks with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. It ends up being the little brother in New York, the Brooklyn Nets. What was your first reaction to Durant going to the Nets?
Well, little brothers all grown up. That's the first reaction. I mean, there are going to be losers. You know, everybody thinks they're going to get the guys they want in free agency. Anyone that's ever done a fantasy draft knows you have the guys you think you're going to get that you want on your team. And when the night is over, you're wondering what happened and how I didn't get all the guys that I wanted. And there are going to be losers in this whole deal. And obviously, a lot of teams have cap space. You know, Sacramento and the Knicks come in here with a lot of cap space. And when it's all said and done, you know, it's not going to be a big, sexy haul for either team. The Nets have been brilliant in the aftermath of what was a devastating deal for them. And a deal, even at the time, it seemed risky, but it made sense in trying to become relevant. But the moral of the story is you don't become relevant by trading for superstar players who are 3 or 4 years past their prime. You put yourself in position to spend money on them in their prime, and that's the difference between what the Nets tried to do with Prokhorov in 2013 and what they've done tonight.
Talking to Sean Grandy, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics on CBS Sports Radio, Zach Gelbin for Sean Pendergast. When you look back at Kyrie Irving's short run in Boston, when you have, you know, weeks now to really process this, when it was clear right after the playoff loss that he was going to be leaving, what went wrong here? What went south, and what are the big things that really stand out to you about this?
I think that's, you know, that's more of a podcast than a short form answer, because there were so many things. But I think the contrarian view because what Kyrie did publicly and what he is being bashed for and killed for, I think in a lot of ways it's deserved. It's rightly so. It's everything he wanted. He made the commercial. He told the promised the fans he was staying. He told his teammates he was staying. He made the Nike commercial. You know, he did all these things. So for him, he's going to have to take a beating on those things and deal with it. But I think there's the bigger picture with a lot of fans and with, even within a lot of people within the organization. Kyrie Irving, the last 2 years, you know who he was? He was Kyrie Irving. Same dude he has always been. Brilliant on the floor. In fact, better. This was his career year. He just had his best year on the floor. Obviously did not have a good playoff, but his year was the best year he's had, you know, 1-82. He was the same guy on the court and off the court. It just, what we learned is that who Kyrie Irving is at his age, I'll give him the asterisk of maybe he changes, maybe he evolves, maybe he doesn't. But that kind of personality, I think what I, my take in answering your question, stepping back from it, is this. If the flat earth, what does government mean to you, the internet isn't real, dude who's exceptionally talented is the second guy on your team, you can win. But that doesn't work as the locker room leader, alpha, particularly with a younger team. Because as I said many times over the last 6 or 8 months, a leader without followers is just a guy out taking a walk.
You know, it's so interesting because when he was traded to Boston, he basically got everything he wanted and it didn't work out. Now with the Nets, he teams up with Kevin Durant and this was really his choice, free agency. And now he really got everything he wanted. You know, is that attitude, how much is that attitude still a concern? Because you would think he would be happy, but heck, we all thought he would be happy in Boston too.
And he should, you know, if you, the one thing, I think the obvious pros of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, two of the ultimate talents in the world, playing together in the biggest market in the country, is speaks for itself as to the pro side and what is possible on the positive side. Again, in my contrarian nature, I would point out that the Nets have just put their franchise in the hands of two guys, one of whom was unhappy playing for Brad Stevens in the most historic franchise in the NBA, in the sport, with an extraordinarily talented group of players playing around him. The other was unhappy playing for Steve Kerr in the greatest modern-day dynasty that the game is going to have. So I suppose the answer to the question is, if we're trying to make Kyrie and Kevin Durant happy, if they weren't happy in the situations they were in, maybe was something of a fool's errand. And the question is, can they play together and can they win? And not so much, are they going to be happy? Because you wonder about the capability of happiness for two guys who couldn't be happy in the situations they were just in.
And we know some of the sensitivity that comes with Kevin Durant. You know, there was a big talking point. A reason why he wouldn't go to the Knicks would be because of the New York media.
Yeah.
And now the Nets are going to be, you know, one of the big teams, obviously, in New York, because New York's hungry for a winner. How do you think that relationship will unfold with the media and Kevin Durant? Is that a concern?
I said it many times during the year. I said, if Kyrie and Kevin Durant don't like, you know, if they're struggling with the media now, it's going to be much, much worse. But, you know, they're going to build up their walls and do the same interviews. I think having, my guess would be for each of them, having the other there will take some of that off their shoulders. You know, I mean, are there crazy scenarios where who is the alpha in that scenario? Do they both need to be the alpha? Who's the guy? I'll say this. It's not a team I'd want to cover. It's a team I very much want to watch play, but I'm not sure if I want to cover if I'm a member of the media, because that could be a difficult group. But my guess is, if you remember, the Kyrie stuff, everyone remembers the last few months, but Kyrie's first year here, and obviously it ended in injury, went really well. He's a fascinating dude. And there's no question about it. I think he gets penalized, Kyrie does, because he's different, and different is not something that is easily embraced by people. And it was I think you got to put aside, he has to own, as I said, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with the Celtics. Doing the commercial. I want my number up. He has to own that. Okay, the same way LeBron had to own, it's funny how there's a lot of parallels if you think about it. LeBron has to own the, you know, not 4, not 5, not 6, and take my talents to South Beach. You got to own that. But I think some of the stuff with Kyrie, Jackie McMullen wrote the piece, you know, this week, and that it's a lot more complicated. That it wasn't all Kyrie's fault. There were a lot of things that went wrong for the Celtics last year, and this is just an extremely talented player who, as good as he is on the floor, has not yet figured out how to lead. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he just made some decisions at 25, 26 years old that a lot of us might have made at 25 or 26. He's going to be public enemy number one in Boston, and obviously those are going to be must-see games when he comes back with the Nets, and it's going to be an ugly atmosphere for him in Boston. But I think when time goes by, we'll realize that it just was he was not ready to lead the Celtics in Boston as he was constituted and as the team was constituted.
You mentioned in the Jackie Mack article how she points out it wasn't just Kyrie. There were other issues as well with the rest of the roster, and we'll get to Kemba in just a second, but with the younger players on the roster, how much growing up and learning how to be a professional is there still to do for those current Boston Celtics?
I think there's a lot. Jason Tatum just turned 21 years old. Jaylen Brown's 22. These are really young guys, and I think you have to take a step back. This is a point that I've made to people. When you think about what the Celtics just tried to do, because everyone wants to make it a fantasy league, right? And look at the talent on the roster and assume that it just magically all fits together. Here's what the Celtics tried to do over the last couple of years. Think about what Golden State just accomplished in the last 5 years, and they won the championships and they were in the mix, and it's going to be hard to repeat what they just did for any team in the next couple of decades. But the fifth, sixth, there are two kinds of players in the NBA. There are young players on their rookie contracts, doesn't matter how talented they are, young players on their rookie contracts, not just trying to make their money, more to the point, trying to find their place in the league, okay, trying to establish themselves. So, yes, they can make money, but also, I belong in this league, this is who I am, this is who I could be. And then there are players on the B side, right? And we're not talking about the superstars, we're talking about players who maybe were the best player on a bad team, maybe had an injury early in their career, but now they're in the second half of their career. They understand what has to be sacrificed to win. They're veteran players, and you can plug them into those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh spots. Not deep on the bench, significant roles, but, you know, in those spots. Golden State, think about their guys. We're talking about Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Andrew Bogut, Zaza Pachulia when he was there. B-side guys, high-level players, but they've already gone through that phase, through the rookie deal, through that first part of their career. The Celtics are trying to do that with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier and young guys who haven't yet found their place in the league. You know, Terry Rozier is about to get paid for the first time. Jason Tatum obviously will. Jaylen Brown obviously will. But they were asked to sacrifice and to play smaller roles for the betterment, for the good of the team. That sounds good on paper. But that's hard to tell a 20, 21-year-old who just spent the entire offseason last year being told how good they were and how they were going to lead the Celtics to the finals, because look what you did without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. You got within 5 minutes of the finals as it is. You're amazing. And it's natural human nature at 20, 21 years old to hear that and maybe not come back in the perfect frame of mind, especially when a guy who couldn't walk a few months earlier, Gordon Hayward, is starting in place of you.
Wrapping up with Sean Grandy, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics. So it's funny how this works. A week ago, people were dancing on the grave of the Boston Celtics. They're going to lose Kyrie. They're going to lose Al Horford. This is all done. They weren't able to capitalize on the time that they had with the stars that they had and some of the youngsters. And now it looks like they're getting Kemba Walker in a four-year, $141 million deal. I saw some stuff of a sign-and-trade with, you know, involving Kyrie and Rozier and Walker. Who knows what's going to happen because it doesn't become official on July 6th. But what's the immediate thought on Kemba Walker joining the Boston Celtics? What a move by Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens.
Yeah, it's as big a save as you can come up with. And the Celtics are hardly out of the woods because there are sign-and-trade possibilities. It is going to be a sign-and-trade with Kemba Walker coming to Boston and Terry Rozier going to Charlotte. That part's going to be done. There was a crazy pipe dream involving with the Celtics. Obviously, what you're trying to do if you're the Celtics now is go to the Nets and go to Kyrie's people and say, we can do a signing trade. You can make more money. You can whatever. And then you free up all the money and somehow magically the magical mystery team of Al Horford, which has become one of the great subplots of this NBA free agent season. It also sounds like a Beatles album, becomes a chance for the Celtics actually to be the mystery team, right? If they could clear enough money.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Right, to get Al Horford to come back, but without as I tweeted earlier today, that sounds like one of those things. All the things that would have to happen there is what they used to ask Jack Bauer to do, right? Except he had like 15 minutes to do it, or else the world would explode if he didn't get it done. But it's extremely complicated. And while the Celtics will get the first part done with Kemba Walker and Charlotte and Rozier, it's really unlikely the Nets are going to try to help them out to bring Al Horford back. And it's really a shame. And that's what I'm saying. The Celtics aren't out of the water here. You're losing Al Horford.
So that's still a healthy relationship with Al Horford and the Celtics.
It was a great relationship.
Okay.
It was just Al wanted, you know, Al said he's 33 years old. So that fourth year and all that money makes a big difference. And the Celtics, I think, thought they had sort of a, not a handshake deal, it's the wrong term for it, but they thought he was going to do a more cap-friendly deal. But that was in the scenario where Kyrie was going to stay. Once Kyrie goes, you got to replace him. Kemba's the perfect replacement in every way. And it's ironic, after the biggest fear of Celtic fans a year ago being Kyrie Irving leaving, that turned out to be fine. It was what you didn't expect, which is Al Horford leaving, which leaves the Celtics right now, as it stands, probably the team to beat in any 6-7 and under league in the world. But right now, there's no experienced bigs on the roster as is, and the Celtics will keep trying to scratch and claw and dig to clear room to try to make the Al Horford thing happen, but it's really unlikely that they'll be able to put enough together that the Kings or the Sixers, if depending on what happens to Jimmy Butler or any other team, is going to be able to now blow away Al Horford financially from what the Celtics are going to be able to do.
Last one for Sean Grandy. He's been great, as he is each and every time he joins us. I have about a minute left. What does your gut tell you on Kawhi Leonard right now?
Isn't that the beauty of Kawhi Leonard, is that we don't have any earthly idea what Kawhi is thinking, other than, unlike Instagram or his own company's site, he's gonna break the news to the Grubhub guy when he shows up with his dinner tonight. There's no, you know, that's the beauty of Kawhi. I think it's a Laker Clipper scenario. It's a shame in a lot of ways. It'd be cool if he went back to Toronto. But, you know, I don't think Raptor fans can begrudge him. This is something he's wanted to do. You know, with Durant going east, maybe that really opens it up. I think the Lakers and Clippers are probably a coin flip right now, and that's going to be, isn't it amazing how the Knicks and Nets, we know how that fell, that the Clippers could end up doing the same thing to the Lakers in a lot of ways. Although LeBron and Anthony Davis, but if Kawhi and even Al Horford ended up going to the Clippers instead, it would be pretty fascinating.
Sean, you're one of the best of the business. Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
You got it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.